look into your word this morning that we don't take it lightly. You gave your life for us. Can we not give ours for you? Can we not give that part of us that will serve you and that will risk once in a while at least to share something with maybe an insult? We haven't yet given blood or given up our lives for you. I think it's a small matter that we just lay ourselves before you and that we stretch ourselves just a little bit today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's an interesting debate a few years ago between Ken Ham, who, if you know, started the Creation Museum and got the Ark in Kentucky built. And if you haven't been there, it's an amazing sight. You think, oh yeah, the Ark, what a big deal. But I want to tell you, when you pull up in that parking lot, you see that Ark out there. It's pretty amazing. And the Creation Museum is just an amazing building full of things that build up our faith, make us realize that we're not on the losing side. Well, Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy, remember that? Bill Nye, used to watch him a lot. Now I'm a little disappointed at him because he's the evolutionist. And Ken Ham and he went at it in a debate. One of the things that I remember Ken Ham said, and it just stuck out in my mind, he asked Bill Nye, "Why do you wear clothes?" Seems like a weird question to ask, you know, but it has everything to do. You know, it's like, really, Ken, you're going to put that out there? But we all have morals. Why? Why do we have morals? Why do we have any values? Why is there absolute truth? I mean, if we're developing everything ourselves, if we decide what it is and what it's not, then we can decide what's moral and what's not moral, right? I mean, why would there be any kind of morality? Why would we even think of, wearing clothes is the moral thing, the right thing to do? Or that, you know, stealing or robbing a bank or doing whatever would be moral or not immoral. You know, that we just, why is there that value? So I want us to go to Romans chapter 1, 1708 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 1, 1708 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to start in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18, says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what they may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." You know, I, like many people, looked at this scripture as creation. The trees, the brush, the bushes, the animals, the, you know, all the things that God created are testament to Him. And that's true. But also, truth, love, care, compassion, and life itself, God created. These are all values or morals or institutions, standards, if you will, that are clearly seen by God's creative work. And so what happened? Why are people not all in? I mean, seems plain to us because now, you know, we're believers and we can see it pretty clear. But why isn't everybody all in? You know, because sin. and the devil. Remember, I think last week I had the scripture 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's up on the screen for you. You know, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers, and so they walk around, and we did too before Christ, walked around believing evolution. I mean, Kathy, when she was sharing with me that when she was in college, she actually wrote a paper in favor of evolution. She was before she was a Christian. Yeah, it was a dissertation. It was, you know, her, and it was one of those things that sounded perfectly logical to her before Christ. After Christ, she went, "I can't believe I did that." She felt so embarrassed by that paper. She wanted to go back to the college and see if she could get it out and rip it up. But see, remember, Satan cannot create. God did that. Satan can only pervert what God has created. So he perverts the truth. He perverts love. He perverts care and compassion and even life itself. He tries to pervert even creation that God has put in place. God set down the moral truth, the absolute. We were created in His image. Therefore, it is ingrained in us. His moral truth, His moral values, His standards are ingrained in us because of creation. We're created in His image. What was the name of that tree again in the middle of the Garden of Eden? They were told not to eat of it. It was the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. It was the knowledge of. Remember, we keep thinking, you know, well, boy, they sinned, and we forget that it was the knowledge of good and evil. So we do know the difference. Even though sin came into the world by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, we still know the difference because the tree was the knowledge of good and evil. We all have ingrained in us, created in the image of God, the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. You ever say that to your kid? Your child, you say, "You know better." We've all said it. We've all had it said to us. I remember it many times. "You know better." And I go, "I don't know." That's a typical response. I want us to go to James chapter 1, 1840 in your pew Bible. James chapter 1, 1840 in the pew Bible. Chapter 1 in James, starting in verse 13. Verse 13, chapter 1, James says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So, you see here that God has no evil in Him. But see, Satan has perverted the truth where he's telling us, "Wait a minute, you know, God is not the guy you think He is." But that's the perversion of the truth. Look farther down, verse 16 through 18. It says, "Don't be deceived." Don't be deceived. Don't let the lies fill you up. Don't let them creep in. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm going to read that again. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. You really grasp that? I mean, but you also see the lie that creeps in. You know, wait a minute. God doesn't give all good gifts. I mean, look at what he's done. Look at the world of today. Look at what happens in your life. You know, can you really say that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father? And surely there's a little kink in God's armor. There's a little shadow over here. A little bit of a, you know, he likes to see people squirm a little bit, doesn't he? Right? But that's not what Scripture says. That's not what the truth says. You see, we've let lies infiltrate us. Truth is in his nature. It is his nature. He is truth. He's love. He's compassion. But Satan wants us to believe that God is not who he says he is. Jesus told us, let's look at chapter 8 in John, 16:30 in your pew Bible, 16:30, John chapter 8. And starting in verse 44, so it's a lengthy chapter, but we're going to look at verse 44 and 45. John chapter 8, 16:30 in the pew Bibles. Starting in 44. It says, he's talking to the Pharisees, by the way. And interestingly enough, if you don't know it already, the Pharisees are the religious leaders, by the way. So it'd be like Jesus coming to all the pastors of all the churches in the nation and saying, you belong to your father, the devil. Now, he had a right to say this because in this particular instance, the Pharisees were speaking against him. They were mistreating the people. They were abusing their power. They were leading the people in the wrong direction. That's why when I preach, it's out of the Bible. I'm not going to go out on a limb with my own opinions. You know, I'll share what Scripture says, but I'm going to use the Bible. That's the absolute truth, and I'm going to put God's word out here. But there's churches out in this nation that are not. They're using their own opinion. They're using popular fads and desires, and so people come along and they want to change the church. And some of these pastors have gone along with it, or if they haven't, they've left the church, and someone else who will comes in. And the churches are now itching ears, like last week we talked about that. They're deceiving the people. So in verse 44, Jesus had something very serious to say to them and to anyone who would speak deception and not the truth. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, it's kind of like, you know, somebody says, and we've heard that song, it's quite a few years ago, a country song, and the guy makes a deal with the devil. And he plays his fiddle. You know, Johnny, whatever, plays his fiddle and says, you know, if I beat you in this contest, then I get your fiddle, I guess is what it is. You can't have my soul and all that kind of thing. And it's like, really? You're going to make a deal with someone who lies all the time. Can you trust someone who makes a deal that way? Can you trust the contract to say, yeah, I promise that I'm not going to harm you. Shake on it. Really? No one would make a deal with someone they know lies all the time. And yet, we do it all the time. Satan's end is clear. He knows the Bible just like we know it. And he knows Revelation just like we know it. He just doesn't know the time like we don't know the time when Jesus is coming back, when the rapture will occur. But he knows his time is coming. He knows his time is limited. And so he wants to destroy God's creation because it hurts God. Can you imagine someone hurting your child? Someone doing harm to your child? Can you imagine how you would feel? And if you had to stand back and let it happen because they kind of chose that, sin of the world and that kind of thing? We can't even comprehend the pain that God, our Father, goes through as He watches what happens here in this world. People shaking their fists at Him, spitting Him in the face, and hating Him when all He has done is sent Jesus to the cross so that we can have eternal life. Beaten, bruised. 2 Peter, I have up on the screen. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Doesn't sound like He wants any harm to come to anybody, that He cares about us. And yet Satan has perverted the truth to an extent where he says, well, God doesn't really care about you. He just wants to see us wiggle and be in pain and misery in this world. And that's not true. Because Jesus even said, be of good cheer. Even though you go through times of tribulation, I've overcome the world. Take heart. He's told us we're more than conquerors. He's given us everything that we can ever have or to make it through this world. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's told us that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are the greatest possession I have, and I want you to have full joy, even though I know you're in this painful situation and I can't change it right now. All I can do is wait until the rapture, wait until the second coming. I will set it straight. But in the time being, at this moment, God has to allow what's happening in this world to go. He's told us all about it. Because truth is found in God's Word. Not in the world. Not in philosophy books. Or the news. In fact, we're flooded with lies so much. Even in the news. You know, years ago, you turn on the news and you went, yeah, that's right, I can take that to the bank. Now, you can't do that. You look at the news and you think, is it really true or not true? Or is that really right? And then there's social media. And you look at that and you kind of go, wait, that doesn't sound right. And even there are these commercial ads that, I don't know if you ever watched this Fixer Upper, you know, Joanna and Chip, and they have an advertisement, they're splitting up! You go, no! And you click on it to read the article, and it's an ad for some product. They want you to buy it. You can't even believe what you hear from anybody. You doubt everyone. You trust no one. But let me tell you, there's one with a capital O that you can trust. And that is God. His Word is the absolute truth. I want us to, one last scripture here, Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you have memorized this scripture. Proverbs chapter 3. And 9:34 in the Pew Bibles. 9:34. Proverbs 3, and starts with verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust even yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. You know, I like verse 7 too. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Yeah, I kind of get that way sometimes. I think, you know, in my time as a pastor and I'm in my time as a Christian, you know, 30, 40 years, whatever it's been now, I can't even remember because I'm so old. No, Kathy doesn't like that when I say that. But you know, in all my years, you know, there were times where I picked up the Bible and I said, well, you know, I've read it before. I know what's in there. I'm well aware of God, and you know, so I can skip it today. And then you skip it tomorrow. And you skip it next week. And you skip it. And pretty soon there's dust an inch thick on the Bible, and because you haven't touched it, you know, because, well, you know what's right and wrong. And then you find yourself in a fix. And Satan comes along and he shares some things, and you say, hey, you know, it's kind of like Eve in the garden. You know, that sounds kind of right. Satan can only gain victory if we give it to him. If we're ignorant of the Scripture, if we're ignorant of the truth, Satan has an easy target. Because he finds you and he says, you know, da 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 da, and you go, I'm not sure. Oh, come on, you don't need to look in there. I'm telling you the truth. And you forgot the Scripture that says he's a liar and he can't tell the truth. We are stronger in Christ than Satan is. Don't give in to his lies. The Scriptures have the ultimate truth. I want to read an article. We read this. I know we're getting into later, but you'll like this. That we were reading in the Book of Mysteries. I recommend this book to all of you, just as a devotional book. It gives a great Jewish perspective on things. And so the way it's written is like a teacher and a student talking back and forth. And it says, they came into this one room and it had these rocks in it, small rocks and bags, cloth bags. And the teacher opened one and he said, they are the Avanim, he said, the weights of the balance. And this is the chamber of measures. These were the measures and standards used in ancient times to determine values, weights, and quantities. He then took out a second bag and emptied the contents on the table. These look the same as the others, but they're not. These are false measures, altered weights. The inscriptions have been changed so that they no longer match the weights of the stone. The one says shekel, but it weighs less than a shekel. It would be used to corrupt merchant to make an item appear to be heavier or greater than it was. The merchant had redefined the measure to conform to his will and want. Altered weights not only concern corrupt merchants, but corrupt civilizations. When a civilization redefines its values, when it changes the meanings and definitions of reality away from God and away from the created order, when it alters the measure of morality, of right and wrong, to conform them to its will and desires, it is dealing in altered weight, false measures, deceptive balances. It is turning the object into the subjective and man into God. At this, he emptied another bag of weights onto the table and began reading their inscriptions. This one says good. The other side says evil. This one says life. The other side death. Idol. The other side God. Male, female, sacred, profane. This one says marriage. And then this one says child in the womb. They've all become altered weights, false measures, changed values, signs of corruption. So how do you escape the corruption of altered weights? Never bend the truth to fit your will. Bend your will to fit the truth. Never alter the word of God to conform God to your image. Alter your ways to the word of God and conform your life to the image of God. Beware of false standards and stay far away from altered ways. I'd like us to just close with a word of prayer and we'll sing our last song. Father, as we have come so far, and some would call it progress in this country, but Lord, we've distanced ourselves. We've allowed altered ways. We've allowed false gods and lies to infiltrate not only the country, but also even the church. And Lord, I pray that we would hold your standard, that we would look in your word, that we would make it the absolute, that we would always look to you in all things and not let the lies of society, the lies of Satan, change us. Lord, we pray now that you would bless as we sing this last song together, and Lord, that you would help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.